beautifully sung, Paul. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 14? Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a certain woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the alabaster box. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you this morning for your precious love toward us. Father, I pray today that you'll use this message to speak to us, your children, to show us that as we live in these last days prior to your return, our service that is rendered unto you in purity of heart, with purity of motive, and humility to serve you is never wasted. No matter how small the act, no matter how minute it may be in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of others, Lord, if it's offered up in true faith projected on you, and it's offered up with a humble heart, Lord, it's never wasted, and it stands great in your sight. I pray today you'll bless your children. You'll encourage them, Lord Jesus. You'll help me to preach this in such a way that it will hold you up before their eyes in a new light, and that, Lord Jesus, we'll all look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I pray that I will fade into the background and that Jesus Christ would be magnified today. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for whatsoever you do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. The story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, and this story of Mary, the mother or the sister of Lazarus, are inextricably bound together. You see, it was at the tomb of Lazarus, just outside of this same Bethany, when Mary, the sister of Lazarus, came running to Jesus and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus wept with the family of Lazarus. That's always gripped my heart, that Jesus wept there, knowing that in a few moments' time, he was going to speak the words that would raise Lazarus from the dead. But yet he had such compassion and such mercy on this family of Lazarus that he wept because he sensed their sorrow. He sensed their sense of loss. And he told Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Mary believed those words. Mary believed them with a belief that the story that we read today exemplifies her great faith in the words of Jesus being the resurrection and the life. And going back to the tomb of Lazarus for just a moment, we know the story. Jesus spoke those words. He cried out into the depths of dark death and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he said, take away the stone. I don't know if you've ever seen it this way before or not, but that's, in a sense, a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. For we were dead in our trespasses and sins and had no hope. But one happy day, praise his name, he walked by. He came by our life some way. Somebody told us about him. A sermon was preached. A friend witnessed to us. And we said yes to Jesus. And he called us out of the death of our sin. And he didn't maybe say, take away the stone. He said something far greater to us. He said, take away the sin. Hallelujah. Take away the sin. Praise God. He took it all away the day that we found him. And he called us out of the death of sin. And in a sense, that tomb of Lazarus represented our death in Christ and how we're buried with him. We're baptized into his death, what Romans 6 tells us. But we're also resurrected in new life in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel that this morning. There's only life in Jesus Christ. He's the only source of life there is in this universe. Men try to find life. And I'm talking about not just merely breathing and existing. I'm talking about spiritual life. They try to find it in every avenue and every venue that they can, and they come up short. But when you find Jesus, you found life. When you find Jesus, a resurrection takes place. Hallelujah. A death takes place, to be sure, but a resurrection takes place also. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. And now it's at Bethany again. The Bible tells us in our text this morning that Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper. And that in and of itself is a miracle. Jesus had to have healed this man named Simon the leper. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because under the Old Testament law, the person who had leprosy could not come within approximately 50 yards of any other human being. And if they started to come closer than approximately 50 yards to any other human being, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And this tells us that Jesus had to have healed this man who was known in Bethany for having leprosy, Simon the leper. He's in his house having dinner with him. So there's one miracle that has taken place, but there's another greater miracle going on in this house at Bethany as Jesus comes to dinner at the house of Simon the leper. Lazarus, whom he's raised from the dead, is at this dinner. And the town is coming out. They want to see. It had been about approximately 2 months earlier where Jesus had raised him from the dead. And now the whole town has come out because they want to see this one that was in the tomb. This one who had been dead for 3 days and had been risen back to life and totally healed by the power of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And think of this. Even with these two great miracles, the healing of Simon the leper and Lazarus being raised from the dead, being at this dinner with Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees still want to plot to kill Jesus. Now I want that to sink in for just a moment. What does that show you? That shows you the religious heart. I said the religious heart. The religious heart has no thirst for God. The religious heart has its own motives and its own agenda, and not the motives and agenda for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wants to aggrandize itself. It wants to hold itself up. It wants to say, look at me and what I can do. That's the religious spirit. And that's what was there that day at this dinner in the scribes and the Pharisees. For they had totally overlooked the great miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead and Simon the leper being cleansed. That's the type of mentality that the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with. I tell you, that religious spirit, it's one of the meanest, vilest spirits you'll ever face. Give me a room full of drug addict and cigar-smoking, beer-drinking, wine-swilling people than put me in a room with a gang of religious people. I'd rather, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Mahari? Because religious people have no compassion. Religious people are only interested in their own agenda. And they try to mask it over with virtue. They use virtue as a cloak to try to mask their true agenda. And that's what Jesus was facing that day with these scribes and Pharisees. But then all of a sudden, in a great act of faith, I believe one of the greatest acts of faith found in the entirety of the Word of God, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, comes rushing in. She'd been there and she saw her brother walk out of the tomb in the grave clothes. She was there when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." She heard Jesus say, "Loose him and let him go." Hallelujah. When Lazarus came out with all of the grave clothes still wrapped around him. And she believed in who Jesus was. That he was the Savior. That he was the Messiah. That he was the one in whom there was life. And there was life in nobody else. But she had also been listening to Jesus when he said the Son of Man is going to have to go to the cross. He will be betrayed by sinners. And she knew that he was going to have to die. And what's strange about that, and I'm going to tell you in just a moment how I know that, is that she had more faith than all the disciples and even Simon the leper and Lazarus whom he'd raised from the dead. She had a greater faith than all of they. Because the Bible tells us at this dinner at the house of Simon the leper, it's 2 days before the Passover. When Jesus had told them no less now than about 7 times that during this Passover feast was going to be when he would be crucified. And now, as she runs into the room in this great act of faith, believing in who Jesus is, the Bible says that she breaks an alabaster box of spikenard. And then as she breaks this alabaster box of spikenard, she begins to pour it on the head of Jesus. And this was a costly spikenard. This was a spikenard that in today's money would be well worth over $10,000. I want you to think of that for a moment. And when the Bible says that she broke it, it doesn't mean that she literally took the alabaster box and slammed it down. It was sealed in a, it had a seal on it, these alabaster boxes did, and she broke the seal that contained the spikenard and the ointment. And the Bible says in this book of Mark and in the book of Matthew that she poured it over the head of Jesus. She had no doubt saved a long time for this spikenard and this oil. The Bible says it cost a year's wages. 300 pence in biblical days, the equivalent of well over $10,000 in today's economy. And she poured that out on the head of Jesus. And she knew what she was doing. She knew that she would not have another opportunity to properly anoint him before he would go to the cross. And in this great act of faith on her part, she rushes in and pours out this ointment over the head of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that cost her nearly everything she had. I tell you, it's going to cost us something sometimes to serve Jesus. And sometimes in our service to him, we're going to go through great difficulties. We're going to face the religious spirit that he faced. And that religious spirit, if you're truly serving God from a pure motive, it's going to do everything it can to destroy you. Because it has its own agenda. It has its own motive in mind. But as she pours this out on the head of Jesus first, we see that she was recognizing him by pouring it first over his head as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She was saying, "Lord, you're worthy of all the anointing. You and you alone are the one in whom there is life. You and you alone are the one who has authority over death, hell, and the grave. And I want to take this opportunity because I know you're going to have to die very, very shortly. And I won't have a chance to anoint you in that day. But I'm taking this opportunity now to pour out all that I have on you, Lord Jesus, because I love you. I'm taking this opportunity to give you all that I have because I may never get another chance to do it in this life. But I want you to know in front of all of these people that I love you and I acknowledge you and I hold you supreme in my life. I'm going to tell you something. When you fall that much in love with Jesus, it's going to get you in trouble with the world and it's going to get you in trouble with religious spirits. And sure enough, as she pours out the oil on his head, as Matthew 26 records, and here in Mark 14, the story is also told in John chapter 12. But John 12 gives a detail that is left out in the writings of Matthew and Mark. She also pours it on his feet. After breaking the seal and pouring it on his head, she pours it on his feet also. She was anointing his head as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But she was pouring it on his feet to anoint them. Because she was in effect saying, I want to anoint these precious feet. Because these feet, like my brother Lazarus, are going to be the ones that are going to walk out of a tomb. Hallelujah. These feet will be the ones that will walk out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, I do not only want to anoint your head as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to get down and humble myself at your feet and let you know that I am your servant and you are my Lord. And I pour out all that I have on these precious feet of yours that are going to walk out proving that my redemption is sure, proving that my eternal life is accepted, proving that your sacrifice on this cross in a few days is going to be totally accepted by God the Father. What an act of faith this was on the part of Mary. But none of the disciples did this. Simon the leper didn't do it. Lazarus, even being raised from the dead, didn't do it. No wonder Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, the story of this woman is going to be told. Because she had a faith that transcended all the faith that was in that room. She was saying, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I bow at His feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you feel that this morning? Don't you feel the love she had for him this morning? Seeing who he was. It's enough to make you shout, ain't it, Linda? She's got a big smile on her face. But if you know who Jesus is and what he's done for you on the cross, you can't help but fall in love with him. If you really love him for who he is and what he's done, it creates such an attitude of gratitude in your soul and in your spirit. And you don't mind what other people think when you lift your hands to praise him. You don't care what people think when you say praise God at your workplace. You don't care what people think when you say thank you Jesus when something good happens to you. Because you're pouring oil just like she did one more time on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lords, hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus Christ alone is worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. That's what Mary was saying that day as she poured out the spikenard on him. Lord, you're worthy of all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody says, preacher, why do you get so excited about something like that? Why do you Pentecostals got to shout? Why do you got to carry on so? Because I'm like Mary this morning. I know I was dead and in the grave. I was dead in my sin. But Jesus Christ walked by and said, roll the stone away. Roll the sin away. Roll the sin away. Hallelujah. I've washed him. I've cleaned him. And not only does he do that, he says to us the same thing he said to Lazarus. Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. That's something to be excited about. That's better than a football game. Hallelujah. That's better than a shot of Jack Daniels. That's better than cocaine. It's better than anything this old world has to offer. It's to pour your love on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here today. Just praise Jesus for just a moment. Just lift your hands. Pour oil on him this morning. Pour the oil that he's given unto you. He gave Mary this oil. This spikenard. It was through the ability that Jesus had given her to get the money for it. Everything we have this morning, he's given us the ability to get it. And I think it's time we take what he's given us and we pour it back on him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pour our love on you this morning, Lord Jesus. We pour our oil that you've given us, the oil of the Holy Spirit. We pour it on you, on your head and on your feet. We anoint you with our praise today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your blessed holy name forever. Thank you that you've redeemed us. Thank you that you set us free from death. Thank you, Lord, that you took away our bondage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us when we were unlovable. Praise your holy name this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. But in the midst of this great act of faith on the part of Mary, that is altogether so beautiful, and I believe you see the typology now in the modern sense, is that we as believers, when we do what we just did, lifting our hands and praising Him, when we give in the offering, when we tell another about Him, we're pouring oil on Jesus. We're pouring oil on Jesus. And I want to say something else now. The world, the secular world, and the religious world is going to despise you for doing that. They're going to despise you. After this great act of faith and beauty on the part of Mary, John records it specifically in John chapter 12 and relating this story. He records it specifically that it was Judas Iscariot, the one who immediately after this beautiful act went to betray Jesus. Now think of this. Judas sitting at the table with Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Sitting at the table of Simon the leper, whom Jesus has healed. In the midst of the power of God, betrays and has it in his heart he wants to betray the Son of God. Why? Because Mary, in essence, was preaching the cross through her action. She was saying, I'm recognizing that he's going to have to die, that he's going to have to go to the cross. That's why I anoint his head. He's my king. He's my savior. But I'm anointing his feet because he's coming out of that grave and out of that tomb. She was in effect preaching the cross through her actions. And whenever the cross is preached, religious spirits despise it because it exposes them for what they really are. That's what angered Judas so about it. He had become so ensconced with position and wanting to be recognized himself that now, in the depths of the religious addiction that he's caught in, he can't even see the greatness of Jesus Christ. He's blinded to it, just like the scribes and the Pharisees were. He doesn't see a Messiah sitting at the table. He does not see the beautiful act of the faith of Mary. In Matthew and here in Mark, they record it as the other disciples made this statement. What a waste. What a waste. Think of that. That shows you how devoid of any love of God was really in their hearts and in the heart of Judas. And that, after she does this beautiful act and sitting in the midst of two men that are miracle men, still they do not see this act of great worship and faith. They say, it's a waste. As I was preparing this message, here's what I believe one thing the Holy Spirit told me to relate to those of you this morning, the children of God. This world, by and large, and sometimes most of the church, is going to tell you that your pure acts of faith and worship are wasted and they're foolish. That they're not garnering any good at all. Think of that. That's what the disciples said. The disciples. This was a waste. we could have taken this and sold it and made a lot more money and given it to the poor. Boy, doesn't that sound noble? Doesn't that sound noble? Doesn't it sound a lot like a world peace plan to stop hunger that Rick Warren's come up with? You see, it's a cloak to hide behind virtue, religious virtue, when in fact, in the heart is another agenda altogether. That's why they were saying it was a waste. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning, in these last days, your acts of praise and worship may seem small and insignificant in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of religionists. But when you lift your hands with a pure faith in Christ and Him crucified, it is never a waste. It is never a waste. I tell you something, there are people sitting in church buildings worth, I'm going to tell you about what a waste. They're sitting in church buildings this morning that are worth billions and even millions of dollars. And they're not even preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're being offered 40 days of purpose. They're being offered 12 days of this or that. They're being offered the government of 12. That, my brothers and sisters, is a waste. That is a total waste. But in churches all across this land where the person of Jesus Christ is being held up, it may be in small little backwoods churches, but and the world may be looking at it and saying, it's a waste of time. Look at that little bunch there. Who are they? Look at our great cathedral. But I tell you what, Jesus turned to the crowd that day and He said, let her alone. You leave her alone. Hallelujah. None of the rest of you have seen it, but this is a great act of faith on Mary's part. Hallelujah. And you all may not recognize it, but I recognize it. Hallelujah. 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 That's all I care about. I don't care if the religious world don't recognize me. I don't care if religious spirits try to tear me down. I'm interested in having Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I'm interested to hear Jesus say, hey, you all leave Him alone. He's doing a good thing. He's pouring out His praise on me. He's focusing the crowd on me, not on Him. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But it's an absolute waste when people come to these cold, dead, dull mausoleums that are huge and not one saint of God being blessed or uplifted because the Holy Spirit ain't there. That's a waste. That's a waste. But it's never a waste when we do what we're doing here this morning. Hallelujah. When we come to lift up Jesus, when we come to pour our love and praise on Him, there would be those that would look at us and say, look at that crazy bunch over there, all excited, lifting their hands and praising God. What a waste of time. Well, let me tell you this. You keep your old, dead, dull, dry mausoleum without the Holy Spirit. Give me a little backwoods cabin where the power of God is. I'll take it any day, to be with Jesus. The Bible says that when Mary did this, that fragrance filled that room. Woo! Glory to God. There's a fragrance filling this room this morning. And it's not because of my great preaching. I can't do that anyway. It's not because of oratory or because of human talent. The reason you're standing and praising God this morning is His odor is filling this room. Hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That's what there was a type of. Because she opened it up and poured all she had on Him. And it was what God had given to her. When you open up your heart, the Bible says, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Praise God. Those things are a waste. But your service to God that is given with a pure motive is never a waste. But service to God given with an impure motive is the biggest waste of time there is. Most of the church world, I've sat and watched it. And for a time, I was there myself. Thank God He delivered me from it. Thank God when He called me out of death, when I really found the message of the cross and what Jesus was all about. He not only delivered me from death and sin, but He delivered me from something I believe not worse than sin, but it is a sin in of itself. He delivered me from religion. Let me preach for just a minute. When I really saw the message of the cross and what the blood of Jesus meant, I quit caring what thus saith the Church of God. When I saw the cross and I saw the blood of Jesus and what it meant to me, I quit caring what thus saith the church board. Oh, hallelujah. All that matters to me now is what thus saith the Lord. I want to obey Him. I want to pour my praise on Him. And to somebody who doesn't hold that view of Jesus, you're going to be a constant annoyance to that person. You're going to spiritually drive them up the wall because they've got an agenda. I'm going to tell you something. You want to know why when somebody stands up and says in the church, we're going to end world hunger, why the world applauds them and gives them money? Because they're not preaching the cross. There's no cross in that. So the world will applaud it. But Jesus said, listen, as noble as it is to want to feed the poor, and the church should be involved in this. I'm not saying that at all. But that's not our main mission. Jesus said, after he said, leave this woman alone, what she's done is a good thing. What's the next thing he says? He read their thoughts. Nobody told Jesus what they were thinking. Through the gift of the word of knowledge, he read their minds. And he said, the poor, you've always got with you. Now think of that. That's what Jesus said. In other words, the poor are always going to be here. Now the Lord of glory said that. Why would he make a statement like that? Why is this world, until Jesus comes and reestablishes his kingdom, is it always going to have hunger and poor people in it because of sin? Because of men like these scribes and Pharisees and Judas, whose goal is their own agenda? Whose goal is to get to the top of the cross where they can say, world, look at me and look what I can do. The only position of power and strength there is the position that Mary was in when she poured the oil on the feet of Jesus. Let me say it this way. The power of God's not at the top of the cross. The power of God's at the foot of the cross. The power of God's found at the foot of the cross, kneeling in humble submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the only kind of service that's going to matter. Any other kind of service is a waste. No matter how polished, no matter how talented, no matter how great the oratory, no matter how brilliant the theological exegesis, if it does not have Christ and Him crucified at the center of it, it is a waste. But conversely, hallelujah, everything, no matter how bumbling it may be done, no matter how stumbling the style of delivery, no matter how off-key the song, if it's coming from a pure heart that worships Christ and Him crucified, Jesus is saying, leave them alone. They're doing a good thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, so many are only interested in following Jesus to the extent that they get what they want out of the deal. That's where Judas was. And that's why the scribes and Pharisees hated him, because he was exposing them for the bankruptcy of spirituality that was in their hearts. And even his disciples would often argue over which one was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. My Lord, deliver us from stuff like that. And we shout over drug addicts being delivered and alcoholics and praise God for it. But I'd like to see those sit on church pews get delivered from religion, to where they quit being interested in how good I am at what I do. And they're only interested in, Lord, I just want whatever You call me to do, to praise You. I've watched this. As a pastor over the years, I've seen this time and time and time again. Very, very talented and anointed people in one area of their life. They'll come into the church. And I don't know why it is. But people want to do something else other than what God's called and anointed them to do. I've seen them come in and be anointed to do one task and get jealous over somebody who's doing another task and want to try it and make the biggest fool of themselves in the world. And you're trying to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of them. My Lord, that's foolishness. Be happy with where God's anointing is on you. Because outside of His anointing, you ain't going to do no good anyway. Don't be jealous over what somebody else can do. If it's a gift of God, praise God for it. If you just pour out what God's given you, He'll be happy with you. He don't want no more than that. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's some. I hear great preachers like Brother Larson and Brother Swaggart. And do I wish I could preach that way? Heavens yes. What man behind the pulpit would not want to? But I know I'm not that way. I know I'll never be that way. But I am content in my heart to preach what Jesus has given me and to preach on the level I'm at right now, because that's where His anointing is. And that makes Him happy with me. But I've watched people. They want to become everything in the church. They want to become the counselor, the singer, the preacher, the teacher, in a seemingly unbridled lust for attention. And it destroys them when they become that way. They fall off into religion like these scribes and Pharisees did. And it destroys them. It destroys them. Because you can't at one time show forth Jesus Christ is all powerful and almighty, and I'm extremely talented and beautiful and witty. You got to choose in the church. When we come to praise Jesus, we got to choose what we're going to pour on Him. Whether it's going to be the spikenard of the Holy Spirit He's put in our hearts, or it's going to be something else that we invent or we manufacture. And He won't accept it if it's coming from us. That's why God, or Jesus, told the woman in John 4 at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? How do you get in the spirit? You put your faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Instantly then, you're in the spirit. And if your worship is outside of Christ and Him crucified, you're not in the spirit of God. You're functioning in the human realm. And I've watched it over the years. People I've loved. And then they get mad. When you got to tell them, and you know what? Lord help us in the church. I'm going to preach for a minute here. May get myself in trouble, but I'll do it. I've done it before, but I feel the Lord prodding me to say it. We've got to get honest with one another in the church. Somebody up doing something, making half the church spiritually gag, because there's no anointing on it, and there's no there can be an ability there, but no anointing on it. And the church sit there and take it and just go on merrily along its way. God, give us strength to tell people, look, this body is confirming there's no anointing on you in this area. This body is confirming there's anointing on you in this area. Will you stay in what God's called you to do? Because if you don't, and you keep trying to go outside your area of anointing, you're probably going to find yourself cut off. And usually, in my experience, when you've had to confront somebody like that, they throw up the religious cloak, just like Judas did. Why, this money could have been sold and been given to the poor, trying to hide his true agenda with virtue, trying to look like he's a real spiritual man, when in fact, on the inside, there's nothing but death. As we close this morning, I want to ask you, I think it's time that all of us, me included, examine our lives. What's in your alabaster box? What's in your spirit? Why are you doing what you do for Jesus? Do you love Him? Is your major goal to bring honor and glory to Him and to work in the realm that He's called you to work in, no matter how small, no matter how grand it may be? Are you interested in just saying, Jesus, wherever you've got me, however big, however small, I'm willing to accept that. I'm willing to work within the confines of where you've anointed me. See, that's how you can tell if a person's really humble before God. If they're interested in really doing what He wants, or are they interested in pushing their own agenda to show the world, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. When it's obvious to all, you can't do it. I've learned a long time ago, and still know it today, and I don't say this to be glib or sound self-serving, but you want to know the day I think I finally learned how to preach? It's when I realized I couldn't without Him. And I still know that. And I'm not saying that just to sound trite or humble. God knows my heart. It's the truth this morning. I tremble every time still before I get behind this pulpit to teach or preach. Why? I know, first of all, the ramifications of preaching something to God's people that's wrong when I stand before Him. That's number one. But number two is I know how totally helpless, how totally talentless I am, except He anoint me. You see, it's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. I have heard speakers before whose rhetoric and eloquence is far beyond most people. And they'll get up and try to preach the Word of God, but there's no call of God there to do it. Therefore, that's a waste of time. Unless the oil of the Spirit's flowing, it's a waste of time. Unless the Holy Spikenard of heaven is being poured out, it's a waste of time. And I've seen other folks get up who maybe don't have the education, the ability, but they would have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God worked through that person in a very, very powerful way. It's the anointing that makes the difference. You see, Mary didn't want to perform miracles. She did not want to make a big name for herself. She just said, I want to anoint Him as my King and Lord. And I want to recognize the fact that He's the only one who can give life. And I want Him to know that. And I want this room to know that He's worthy of all that I've got to give Him. That selfless, humble spirit showed the desire of her heart, what was in her alabaster box, what was in her spirit. And that room was filled with a sweet savor. That's always the result when the anointing, the true anointing of the Holy Spirit is present. When what's being done is done from a pure motive out of love for Jesus, the room gets filled with a sweet savor, a type of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But when there's other motives there, no matter how great the ability, no matter how glorious the talent, it brings death. It brings spiritual death. Lord, help us this morning. It's so easy sometimes, and I've done it before, I'm ashamed of it, to try to hide behind a religious cloak when things are not what they ought to be. Thank God when I found the message of the cross, He liberated me from that. Because I stood in pulpits for years preaching that Jesus saves and heals and delivers. And that was absolutely correct. That Jesus gave victory, again, correct. But I didn't understand the battle. I didn't understand how the victory came. And I did not understand the method through which He brought healing and deliverance. And I hid behind that for years, preaching it, but not understanding it. But oh, happy day when He opened up the message of the cross for me. And I now see in glorious, rapturous praise, that's how He does it. That's how He does it. Through the cross. That's the only way He'll ever do it. Through the cross. Through the cross. The Holy Spirit can only flow through faith in the cross. And if what's being done is not of faith in Christ and Him crucified, the sweet-smelling savor, the presence of the Holy Spirit will not fill the room. But a human odor of death will fill the room. See, the alabaster box that she had is really a representation of what's in our spirits. And what was in Mary's spirit was a pure heart to praise and worship Jesus Christ and love Him. And when that box was opened, sweet savor filled the room. She didn't care who thought what. She just wanted everybody to know, I love Him. I love this man named Jesus. I worship Him exclusively. You see, Matthew presented Him as King. Mark presented Him as servant. Luke presented Him as man, God-man in the flesh. And John presented Him as exclusively God. I wish I had time to go into the beautiful, beautiful differences between the accounts of the story in Matthew and Mark and John. But the point being, what's in the alabaster box is going to come through. So what was in Mary's filled that room with praise, filled that room with a sweet savor. But what was in the scribes and the Pharisees and Judas filled that room with the stench of spiritual death. And the determination, here's what I want to leave you with. The deciding factor on what's going to fill your life and fill the room, what spiritual fragrance you give off, is going to be where your faith really is. Is it in solely Christ and Him crucified? Is that your motivation for doing what you do? Or is it to say, look what I can do. Look how much better I am than this person or that person doing it. And you know what? In the flesh, you might very well be. But if God hasn't called you to it, you'll never do any good at it. But when His anointing is on it, be happy with where He's anointed you. Rest in where He's anointed you. Don't try to be everything. You know, I admire Brother Paul singing. He's got one of the most beautiful voices for a man I've ever heard on a local level. And I've always wanted to sing. Really, in my heart, it's been something. And some of you are laughing right now. And you should. You've heard me before. When I've tried to get up and sing. I noticed Michelle asked me one time and she ain't asked me since. Paul, you said it there. Paul just lovingly said, you do fine. That's it, but Paul, there's no anointing on me to do it. You see the difference? Yeah, I can carry a tune. I'm not meaning to denigrate myself that I sound like, I don't know, who's somebody bad singer. I can't even think of nobody. But in any event, Bob Dylan. Let's see. I know I can carry a tune better than Bob Dylan, you know. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own, you know. Remember that We Are the World song? Guy can't hardly carry a tune. It made millions, though. But in any event, I know there's no anointing on me to do it. Hence, years ago, I learned I got to let that thing go as badly as I wanted to do it. Because there's no anointing there. But I have learned something else in the mix. And I'm not saying this to aggrandize myself, please. I'm saying it with all humility. Because I know I'm not a brilliant orator. I know I'm not a great theologian. But somehow God, in His grace and His mercy, chooses to anoint me when I preach or teach. I do know that. And that's bragging on Him, not me. And I've had to rest in that and say, okay, Lord. But I when I made peace with that years ago, because Bonnie knows there were times I'd try to get up and sing in church and do solos. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. I mean, you know, people go running to the bathroom and covering their children's ears. I'm just saying, if all of us aren't careful, we can let it creep into our hearts that I want this or that so bad and I'm going to have my way on it. That you'll choke out the Spirit of God in your life. You know, I believe you, like me, I know the crowd I'm preaching to this morning. I believe you want to be at the feet of Jesus like Mary was. This hasn't been a message to chide anybody. It's been a message to warn us all, though, in this last day. In this last day. Satan's going to come and tell you, your little bit's worthless. It's a waste of time what you're doing. If it's done in service for God, it's never a waste of time. If it's done with a pure motive. Linda here likes to stand back there and greet people at the door when she can. And there's an anointing on you to do that, Linda. There really is. You have that, just that beautiful smiling face that just lights up the room. You know, I couldn't do that. You know, it's better if people see me come out from behind the door there, you know. And you don't want me standing at that door. But there really is. And maybe there would be some who would look at what I just said to Linda not as not being as important as preaching from behind the pulpit. But I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, with that being where God's calling and anointing is on her in this body, that is just as important to God. It really is. She's walking in her anointing. She's walking in what God's called her to do. And that's all God wants out of any of us. And we put so much consternation and extra load on ourselves when we try to get outside of what He's really called us to do. Walk in His anointing. You know where it is. I don't have to tell you. Really, in your heart of hearts, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. You know it. Don't let that religious spirit creep in and choke out the anointing. You see, Judas, for a time, walked with Jesus and was right with God. And was glad to be so. He was privileged to walk with Jesus and had a heart to do it. But what got in his heart? The love of this world and what the world could offer. The praise of men. The adulation of men. And it ultimately ended up with him committing suicide as he hung himself on a tree. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, this morning as we come to you and we approach your altar, Lord, we need everyone in this church. We need each and every one. Lord, each and every one has been specifically gifted and anointed by you for certain tasks, Lord, that only they can do. And as your word says, there's many members, but one body. Lord, the hand is not the same thing as a foot, but they're the part of the body. I pray today, Lord Jesus, you'll let us see how important what we do for you is, if it's what you called us to do. And that's all you want out of us. That's all you require. Lord, as much as I admire someone like Brother Swaggart, you have not called me to preach in the venues of the large stadiums of this world. And I'm fine with that. You've called me to preach right here at Crossway Community Church. And I'm satisfied with that, Lord. And Lord, I pray in this last day that you'll not let an evil heart of lustful desire creep in me to want something more than what you've anointed me to be and do. Lord, I pray for this whole congregation that each and every one will first of all see how precious and what a gift their talent is where you've anointed them to be in this body. Secondly, Lord, I pray for them the same prayer I prayed for myself. That you'll let us all see the horror of trying to step outside and in lust for something else. To step outside of what you've called us to do. And the hurt it brings, Lord. It doesn't bring help. It brings hurt. It brings the stench of death. But when we walk in the anointing and in the areas that you have anointed us, and it's done with a pure motive out of love for you and what you've done for us on the cross, your love, your presence fills the room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would everyone please stand? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I would ask, please, right now, no moving in reverence to the Holy Spirit, because He's here. Are you here this morning and things are not right between you and Jesus Christ? I don't know everyone here. I don't know every heart. Hence, I would be remiss were I not to give the opportunity to that heart who knows it's not right with God to find Jesus this morning. And if you're here today and you know in your heart, Jesus is not my Lord. Jesus is not my Savior. I've never repented of my sin and asked His blood to cleanse me. I've never placed my trust exclusively in what He did for me on the cross. I may have attended church. I may do a lot of religious things. But I've never, never given my life over to Jesus Christ. And you want to do that this morning, I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you just lift up a hand right now and say, Pastor, that's me. I promise you I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? Just lift your hand and hold it up and say, I need to come to Jesus this morning. I've never formally and fully committed my life to Him, but I want to today. Are there any at all? But I'm going to ask everyone who would you please come and present yourselves at the altar this morning as we close the service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sure. Sure, absolutely. Father, as we stand in Your presence this morning, we place ourselves, Lord, under the mighty movement and operation of the Holy Spirit. And we come to the cross of Christ. We come to the foot of the cross this morning, asking You, Lord Jesus, to examine our lives, to convict us, Lord, if there be any evil way in us of religion. If there be any evil way, Lord, of wanting to be more or do something outside of what You've called us to do. Lord, that we would recognize Your smile and Your approval is on us merely in doing what You want us to do. And let us be satisfied with that, Lord. Let us be satisfied with the joy that brings. And Father, I pray for these dear saints of Yours that are standing at this altar this morning. Lord, I know the struggles they're going through in these last days, because I know everyone, I believe, under the sound of my voice, has their faith in Christ and Him crucified exclusively. So therefore, I know the religious world is going to attack. And the enemy is going to try to dissuade them and make them feel like their service to You, though it be small in the eyes of man perhaps, that their service to You, their giving, their going on for God is a waste. I pray You'll give them the revelation this morning that when we do whatever it is with a pure motive out of love and desire for You, just like Mary did, we have Your approval, Lord Jesus. We have Your approval. And that's the greatest thing we could ever possess as humans, is to know that we stand totally approved by our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Work on us now, Holy Spirit of God. As we open up our hearts, go deep in us today, Holy Ghost. I want revival in this church, Lord, not to aggrandize us. Lord, this message needs to be put out. And Lord, I'll be honest with You, I don't know how to do it, Lord. The only thing I know to do is to just preach it and trust in You and have You send the people and have You guide us to the places You want us to go. And Lord, we'll do that. We'll do that. But Lord, that's all we know. I suspect and sense that that's enough. But Lord, wherever You take us, however big You grow us, that's fine with me. But just show us what You want, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray You'll give everyone at this altar this morning a fresh revelation of the anointing that's on their lives. And in the specific area or areas, Lord, You can anoint more than one area. I'm not saying it just has to be one. But Lord, that we would all see the specific areas that you've anointed us in. And let our hearts be full of joy and content to serve you in the area where your anointing is, or the areas where your anointing is. And not to desire someone else's position, someone else's talent, Lord, that can creep into our lives. Someone else's anointing even. We can become jealous over the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want revival. We want revival. We want the real thing, Lord Jesus. We don't want some man-made stench of death that's manufactured by what man can do. We want the holy spikenard of heaven. We want the presence of Jesus and the odor of Jesus filling the room and filling our lives. Go deep in this, Holy Spirit. Work on us. I sense you doing it in all of our hearts. I sense that you're going to instamp this message today deeply in our souls and our spirits. For Lord, we need it in this last day. We really don't have time to try to do things you haven't called us to do. The time is so short. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to put this message out. Help us to get it out, Lord, to this lost and dying world and a church that's drifted so far from the cross of Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your tender, gentle discipline. Thank you for your tender, gentle grace. Thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a discerner of our thoughts. And Lord, I thank you that every time I've started to go the wrong way, your Holy Spirit has stepped in and given me discernment to see that's not the right way to go. He'll do that every time. I haven't always obeyed, Lord. I failed in that area before. But in the times I have listened and obeyed you, it's been glorious. Help us to see that this morning, Father. In Jesus' name. Brother Brent wants to rededicate his life to the Lord this morning. Brent, I just want to pray for you. I don't feel I have to tell you what to say. But as we pray for you, I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to tell you this. It's at the foot of the cross. It's at the foot of the cross. There you'll find His anointing. There you'll find what you seek. There you'll find your victory. It's only at the foot of the cross, Brent. Now you just call on Him as we pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know you love Brent, Lord. There's a tremendous anointing and talent on this man to sing. And I know Satan would love to destroy that. I know he would love to dissuade Brent from what you've called him to do. And Lord, I pray that this day, that your Holy Spirit would so move on Brent that he'd never forget this moment and this hour. That Lord, he will forevermore realize, as much as he is talented, and I'm not saying he's thought this way, but I'm asking you to protect him from thinking this way. As great as his talent is, as much as his anointing is in the area of singing, that Lord Jesus, it's nothing without your precious anointing. And that will only flow if he stays at the foot of the cross with his faith exclusively in Christ. The minute any of us move from that, Lord Jesus, what you mean to bring life, all of a sudden now, though the talent will remain, it will bring death. It will not fill the room with a sweet savor. Lord, teach us all that this morning, but I just pray for Brent this morning, Lord, as he comes back to the cross. Lord, the areas of his life, I know Brent's had a very difficult time. And Lord, he's been ruefully mistreated by loved ones. Jesus, you know what that's like. And you know, Lord, what anger that can create. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, on the basis of Brent's faith in you, Lord Jesus, and what you did for him on the cross, to reach down and pull out every bit of anger, every bit of malice, and replace it with love and grace of Jesus Christ. And let him never be any more tormented after this day with the anger and the hurt. Turn it into a testimony today, Lord Jesus, by your power. Take that which the enemies tried to destroy him with and turn it into a trophy of your grace today, Lord Jesus. I praise your holy name, and I thank you, Lord. I sense your spirits move powerfully today on all of us, and on Brent especially. Thank you for his willingness. Thank you for his humility, Lord. Bless Brent in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and worship him for a moment? As we close, let's just pour oil on him one more time. Father, we worship you today. We praise you today. We pour the oil on you today, Lord. What you've given us, you filled our lives with your precious Holy Spirit. And we return, Lord, what you've deposited on the inside of us back to you. We pour it on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the source of our life. Thank you, Lord. What do you need, brother? What's your name? Leonard. Leonard wants to rededicate his life to Christ. Praise God. Yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. See, this is the Holy Spirit working, church. This is the Holy Spirit at work. Father, in the name of Jesus. Leonard, today I feel the Holy Spirit instructing me to have you pray this way. I want you to tell the Lord Jesus you're coming to him through faith alone in what he did for you on the cross and that alone. You just tell him that and pray that as we pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, Leonard's going to get a great revelation today. That your power and your grace and your mercy is not given out on the basis of his performance. For we are doomed to failure, Lord Jesus, in our own power and our own strength. But he's going to get a revelation of the cross of Christ today. That's going to revolutionize his walk with God. That he's going to be able to rest finally in Christ and him crucified. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit today afresh and anew. And Lord, this is going to be the start of the great revelation of Christ and him crucified for Leonard. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for victory. Leonard, your victory is in the cross. Your victory will ever be in the cross. Lord, never let him forget that what's brought him in and what the glory that's fallen on him right now is because of faith in what you did at the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, let's join with Leonard. Let's pour oil on Jesus this morning. Let's pour our praise on him. Let's pour our love on him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I shout with you, Leonard. I give him glory with you. I know how he feels. I know how he feels this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, we pour our praise on you today. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and magnify you alone, Lord Jesus, as our source of life, as our source of strength. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's all right, Leonard. What you're doing's all right, brother. Don't you be ashamed. Jesus is saying to him right now, let him alone. He's doing a good thing. Let him alone. He's doing a good thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Man, the power of God's all around this altar. Praise Him, saints of God. Don't get in no hurry. This is precious this morning. His fragrance is filling the room right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Linda, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you all ladies gather around her? Some of you gentlemen, come on. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, show Linda how much she means to you. Lord, there would be those in her life who might try to denigrate her. Show her how valuable she is to you, Lord Jesus, and give her strength and give her wisdom, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her strength to do whatever it is you speak to her heart to do, Lord. You'll take her through it. But just show Linda how much you love her. Show her this morning, Lord, your great mercy and grace and how valuable she is to you today. Bless her today, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship Him, saints of God. That's it. Here I am, Lord. That's all we can do. Like the great prophet Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Do with us, Lord Jesus, whatever you want to do. We bow at your feet today, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. That's all right, Leonard. That's all right. Victory's coming for you right now, brother. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, Lord God, thank you for your power that's being poured out on this altar right now. Thank you for what you're doing in Leonard's heart and life, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning, church. Praise Him. Worship Him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. I want to be amongst people like you all. I want to be in a church like this. Not the building, but where the presence of God is. Where the sweet savor fills the room every time we meet together. That's what I want. We got to have that if we're going to make it in these last days. Shannon, can we pray for you before we're dismissed today? I want some of you ladies and gentlemen on the council, would you gather around Shannon right now? She needs strength. She needs strength, and we know the one who can give it to her. Lord, it is not ours to give, but you love Shannon. And Lord, you've called this lovely young lady, you've called her to a difficult road. But you're not going to leave her. You're not going to forsake her. You're going to walk with her. Lord, you're turning her into a trophy of your grace right now. And Lord, being made a trophy of grace is never easy on the one that you're fashioning into that trophy. It's hard. It's hard. And Lord, as much of us, as far as we can go and have compassion on Shannon, I know it's not, we can't grasp what she's going through. Only you know, Lord Jesus. Only you know. But Lord Jesus, I know this. You're never going to leave her. You're never going to forsake her. And you're going to give her wisdom and you're going to bless her. And you're going to give her exactly what she needs when she needs it. Her and Shelby. That's it, Shannon. Let His power fall on you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Let the holy oil of heaven, let the spikenard of glory be poured out on her today. Fill her life with strength and grace and power, Lord. Give her exactly what she needs, Lord. I don't even know how to pray for this woman, Lord. But Lord, if there's anybody who knows and understands that you, pull her close to you right now, Lord Jesus. Her and Shelby, and keep your hand upon them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shannon, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to tell you this. Daughter, you are mine. I am your preserver. I am your keeper. Do not look unto the government. Do not look unto other men, but look exclusively unto me. And I will provide all. It's already been provided. Your provision is sure. Your future is secure in me, says the Lord your God. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I say to you, my daughter, I am with you. Be not afraid. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now, I just sense before we're dismissed, Satan has been coming against. I know this church as a whole, but there's things going on that I know I don't even know about. That's going on in some lives right now that Satan has just tried to strike a blow to utterly knock you out and destroy you. But I feel the Spirit of God leading me to exhort each and every one who's experiencing that in this way. You're still standing, ain't you? And he hasn't taken you out. He can't do it. If he could have, he would have done it a long time ago. He can't. You're God's child. God's going to preserve you. And let me tell you, I feel so strongly to put this across this morning of the Spirit of God. When God is fashioning someone for his service, he takes them down a very difficult road. I know none of us, that doesn't mean nobody shout. But the reason he takes us down that road is he's got to show us that he's enough. And it's got to go beyond just a mere set of words or a mere profession of ours that Jesus is enough. I know we all know that. But God's got to get us to know that in our spirit. That no matter what the circumstance, no matter how overwhelming it is, no matter how hard the enemy attacks, that faith in Christ and him crucified will take you through that. And for him to really get us to know that, he's got to take us down a difficult road. Every great man and woman in Scripture who was ever used by God, first they were literally broken into pieces and left helpless before God could step in and do what he wanted to do with them. We as humans, we're so full of pride. We're so full of self-sufficiency. And God cannot do all he wants to do with us until he gets us to a point of total and complete dependence on Christ and him crucified. That's why the way has to be rough. That's why, and it's not God being mean to you. The great A.W. Tozer, in reading a message of his, or listening to a message of his, I'll never forget what he said. He said, those whom God loves and cherishes the most are often the ones who he allows to be most ruefully treated by this world. Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. And you think about the great men and women of the Bible who suffered in this life immeasurably. But God's got to teach us he's enough in this life. And that there's another life coming. For this isn't the end of it down here, praise God. This is but a puff of smoke. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. And Julie, I want to pray for you before we're dismissed. I just felt the Spirit prompt me. Would you all lay hands on her? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, Lord, Julie's one of the greatest women of faith I've ever met in my life. Her faith is a blessing, Lord. And at times I feel the enemy has tried to make Julie feel just insignificant and worthless. And Lord, Julie's faith fills the room whenever she's around. Just like Mary's alabaster box. Sometimes people of great faith don't have to say a word. Their mere presence and what's on the inside of them speaks for them.